Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, October 17th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
A Brexit deal has been reached. We are live in Europe with the latest.
Netflix shares rally as the company eases investor concern with its latest quarterly report.
And bank earnings continue with Morgan Stanley reporting this morning.
There is breaking news. According to multiple reports, Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings has died. I'm Michael Barr. That story and more coming up.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Yankees and Astros set to resume the ALCS tonight at the stadium after last night's rainout. The Giants are getting two weapons back for Sunday.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
And futures are jumping with European shares as a new Brexit deal was announced. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 13 points, Dow futures up 124, NASDAQ futures up 41, the DAX in Germany's up 0.9%, and the FTSE 100 up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 13 32nds, yield 1.78%, yield on the 2-year 1.62%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 9 cents at $53.27 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.33% or $5.10 at $14.88.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1118 against the dollar. The yen is at 108.80. And this data check brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker in 2019 and low-cost online broker for the 18th consecutive year by Barron's. Learn why at ibkr.com/yib. Nathan.
And Karen, the pound is surging against the dollar this morning on word from Brussels that a deal on Brexit has been reached. Bloomberg Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Well, good morning, Nathan and Karen. The issue here still, though, is the Democratic Unionist Party sticking to their original position from this morning. They've raised a series of concerns about this deal. And of course, we may have a deal with the EU, but it's got to get approval in the UK Parliament. And those are the very people who haven't seen the text yet. Remember when this happened last November, when Theresa May reached her draft deal, there were several high-profile cabinet resignations. And inevitably, after three votes, there was not the support for that agreement. So despite the excitement of this draft being reached with the EU, after all of that toing and froing, this is far from over. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Sebastian, we had seen that excitement play out in the currency markets. The pound surging as high as 1.2% against the dollar. Now, pairing some of those gains, it's at $1.2915, a gain of about 0.2%.
And Asia was a pretty muted session as investors digested the unexpected drop in U.S. retail sales and what that means for the health of the global economy. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Stocks fell in Tokyo, Sydney and Seoul, rose in Hong Kong and were little changed in Shanghai. Real estate stocks led the charge in Hong Kong as Daiwa and Citi indicated the sector has more room to run in the wake of new government initiatives aimed at unleashing pent-up demand. The Aussie dollar climbed as Australia's unemployment rate fell to 5.2%, giving the RBA some breathing space. The Singapore dollar traded in a tight range as exports fell again in September, notching up the longest run of export declines since 2014 and backing the central bank's decision to ease policy. And in Taipei, TSMC's third quarter results and fourth quarter sales outlook topped expectations, although shares did retreat from near record highs. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. HSBC may partially exit stock trading in some developed Western markets as part of a cost-cutting drive by interim CEO Noel Quinn. Sources say equity sales and trading units in France, Germany, the U.S., and the U.K. are likely to be scaled back. HSBC's Asian equities operation is not affected by the review. The lender makes the bulk of its earnings in the Greater China region.
On the earnings front, shares of Netflix up about 8% in early trading. The company gave investors just enough good news to let them breathe a sigh of relief. We get more in the quarter from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
The streaming video company posted slightly better than expected subscriber growth overseas in the third quarter, making up for a far smaller gain at home. Earnings also topped Wall Street estimates, helping investors look past a tepid forecast for the final quarter of the year. After a disappointing quarter 3 months ago, investors came in with lower expectations this time around, and Netflix cleared that bar. The world's largest paid online TV network signed up 6.3 million new users outside the U.S., beating forecasts. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. On the flip side, shares of IBM are down more than 4.5% in early trading. Third quarter revenue there missed Wall Street estimates. This marked the fifth consecutive quarter of shrinking sales at IBM, while analysts had been looking for signs that Red Hat, which was incorporated for the first time in the results, would change the narrative.
Alcoa reported a quarterly loss that was worse than analysts predicted, but the stock rose 2% in late trading after the biggest U.S. aluminum producer said it plans to sell up to $1 billion worth of non-core businesses in the next 18 months.
Now, earnings continue today with banks in focus once again. Morgan Stanley reports this morning, and Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
It would bode well for Morgan Stanley meeting its full-year targets if the bank holding company's wealth margin held at the higher end of its range in the third quarter. Bloomberg Intelligence says that may be the case, and trading performance in the context of its peers will also be a focus. There's a potential for market share gains after Deutsche Bank's pullback. Forecasts are for Morgan Stanley to post an adjusted profit of $1.10 a share on revenue of nearly $9.6 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. An end to the General Motors strike could still be a couple of weeks away. Today, local officials of the United Auto Workers will decide whether to have their entire membership vote on a tentative deal. They'll also decide whether the 48,000 striking workers will go back to their jobs before the deal is ratified. The GM strikes lasted more than a month.
And four drug companies are close to a landmark settlement in the U.S. that would resolve thousands of opioid cases. Bloomberg has learned McKesson, Teva, Cardinal Health, and AmerisourceBergen could end up paying out more than $50 billion in cash and addiction treatments. A federal judge in Cleveland has summoned the company's CEOs to a meeting tomorrow. Futures pointed higher. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And at 6:07 on Wall Street, Michael Barr has the latest world and national news. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Breaking news, Maryland Representative Elijah Cummings died early this morning. According to Cummings' office, he died at Johns Hopkins Hospital due to complications from longstanding health challenges. Cummings became the powerful chairman of the House Oversight and Reform Committee, leading multiple investigations into President Trump's governmental dealings. Cummings came to the defense of his district when President Trump attacked Baltimore as rodent-infested and a place no human being would want to live.
Come to Baltimore. Do not just criticize us, but come to Baltimore, and I promise you, you will be welcome. I promise you, we will give you every bit of hospitality we've got.
Elijah Cummings was 68. A senior U.S. delegation is on its way to Turkey to pressure Turkish officials to accept a ceasefire in northern Syria, just hours after President Trump declared the U.S. has no stake in defending its Kurdish allies. Vice President Mike Pence is heading the delegation that includes Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. They are set to arrive in Turkey today. Democrats and Republicans have criticized President Trump's decision to pull U.S. troops from northern Syria. It was the first face-to-face meeting between President Trump and Democratic leaders since the impeachment inquiry was launched, and it didn't go too well. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says it started with Trump claiming he never invited any of them there. The House had just passed a resolution nearly unanimously condemning Trump's Syrian pullout, and she says he engaged in
a meltdown.
The Senate's top Democrat, Chuck Schumer, says Trump suggested they'd get along with ISIS members.
There are communists involved, and you guys might like that.
And when Trump insulted Pelosi, second in the presidential line of succession, as a third-rate politician, they walked out. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy echoed Trump's sentiment.
The Speaker tries to make everything political.
But Republican Senator Lindsey Graham was also having none of Trump's assertion he should hold his tongue.
And I will not ever be quiet.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Americans now need at least $500,000 a year to enter the top 1%. According to IRS data, that's up 7.2% from a year earlier, even after adjusting for inflation. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the skies will be clear tonight, and the Yankees and Astros will be able to play Game 4 of the ALCS starting just after 8 o'clock. But because of last night's rainout, different starting pitchers than had they played last night. Both teams were plenty to use their bullpens, but now the Game 1 starters, Masahiro Tanaka and Zach Greinke, have full rest. They'll oppose each other, as they did in Game 1 in Houston when Tanaka was outstanding. Six scoreless innings, Greinke was not. His ERA in two postseason starts is over 8, though he's normally a much better pitcher than that. Hall of Famer Frank Thomas, part of the Fox pregame show, asked who last night's rainout favors.
In October, pitching is going to dominate. You just saw that with the Nationals. The Astros has a little edge. I think the Yankees bullpen is better, but the starting pitcher edge goes to the Houston Astros. And this off day here is going to help them line the rotation back up with Greinke and Justin Verlander once again. So the back's against the wall for the Yankees right now. They got to come out and be that home team right now to find a way to win against these top starters. So Yankees, they could find themselves out of this thing before Game 6.
Game 5 tomorrow will start just after 7. World Series begins Tuesday. Washington at either Houston or New York. There were 8 managerial openings, now 7. The Angels, in an expected move, hired Joe Maddon, formerly with the Cubs in Tampa Bay. Before that, he was a coach with the Angels. The Mets are looking, said to be interested now in Eduardo Perez. He's been working for ESPN. That's the path that took Aaron Boone to the Yankees. Good news for the Giants. Saquon Barkley and Evan Ingram's ankle and knee injuries have healed. They'll both play Sunday against Arizona. Wideout Sterling Shepard limited in practice after his concussion. The Jets unlikely to get linebacker C.J. Mosley back for Monday's game with New England. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. We're watching U.S. equity futures and the pound rally on word from the EU and the United Kingdom that a Brexit deal has been reached in Brussels. The pound is paring back earlier gains, with the crucial Democratic Unionist Party in Northern Ireland saying its position has not changed on Brexit. We're going to get much more shortly from FX and rate strategist Richard Jones from the Bloomberg Markets Live team. Stay with us for that. This is Bloomberg. And sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update is brought to you by IBKR and CME Group. The new micro E-mini futures contracts are available at IBKR at the lowest commissions. Learn more at IBKR.com/CME Mini. U.S. stock index futures are higher. European shares and the pound also rallying as news broke that the U.K. and European Union have agreed on a new deal for Brexit. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 12 points, Dow futures up 117, NASDAQ futures up 37. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 13/32, yield 1.78%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.62%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 24 cents at $53.12 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.33% on $5.10 at $14.88.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.1120 against the dollar. The British pound is up about 0.7% against the dollar at 1.2917. The yen, 108.82. The breakthrough must still be accepted by EU leaders and then approved by the British Parliament. It was enough to help investors shrug off mixed earnings from major European companies. But again, it must win the backing of the UK Parliament on Saturday. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. There's breaking news this morning. Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings has died. According to a statement from his office, Cummings died at 2:45 a.m. this morning at Johns Hopkins Hospital due to complications concerning longstanding health challenges. Cummings, who was chairman of the House Oversight Committee, was 68. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says President Trump is having a meltdown. It happened after the president called Pelosi a third-rate politician during a meeting with members of the House and Senate at the White House. That's when Pelosi walked out. In sports, after yesterday's rainout, the Yankees will play game four of the ALCS tonight against the Astros. New York is behind in that series, 2-1. In the NHL, the Capitals won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. FX rate strategist Richard Jones joins us from our Bloomberg Markets live team as we continue to watch the action on the pound against the dollar. Surge when the EU and the UK announced just a few moments ago that they had reached a new deal on Brexit. What kind of range are you looking at for cable now as we continue to watch these headlines, Richard?
Well, good morning, Nathan. You and I were talking offline earlier about baseball, so you know I'm already an old man. But I feel like I've aged about 100 years this morning watching the price action in cable. It's been absolutely all over the place. We came when I first sat down this morning, so that would have been about 6 hours ago. It was looking like there was a deal there to be done. We were really close to getting something done. There was a few little details to sort out, and then the deal would be done and everything would be fine. And then the DUP, the Democratic Ulster Unionist Party from Northern Ireland, came out about an hour later and said, we're not on board with this. And then the pound sold off quite sharply. Another couple of hours went by. We got the UK and the EU. So Michel Barnier, Jean-Claude Juncker on the EU side and Boris Johnson on the UK side saying a deal has been agreed, and the pound rallied very, very strongly. And now we've given a big chunk of that back as the DUP has said that they're still not on board with this deal. Their position from whatever it was 5 hours ago this morning is still the same as it was. They're unchanged. So we're still in a bit of limbo. I mean, I think the pound has still held on to a reasonable chunk of its gains. I think some of the other risk-sensitive assets, equities, and the like have held on to their gains as well. But this thing still feels like it's in the balance. It still feels like there's going to be a lot more drama ahead. And really, I think the DUP does hold in its hands the fate of what's going to happen, not only with Brexit, but also with the markets that have reacted so strongly to the news this morning.
When you talk about risk-sensitive assets, given all the uncertainty that surrounded Brexit for the last few years, it almost seems as though the pound itself has become a risk-sensitive asset. Am I wrong?
Well, the joke that goes around the currency markets these days is that the emerging market universe has added another member to its group, and the pound is now trading not so much like a developed market currency, but more like an emerging market currency. It is very risky. The volatility has ratcheted up considerably in the 3 years since the referendum result. And I think that's, jokingly we say that, but I think there's some truth in it, that the pound has become a very risky asset, not something that is as stable as it was before the referendum. And to be fair, Nathan, I think that this will continue even if we do get a Brexit deal, because there's still an awful lot of political uncertainty down the road in the UK with or without a Brexit deal. And I think that will keep the volatility in the pound raised.
And we just got a bunch of headlines that just crossed from the Ireland's broadcaster RTE, which has been breaking a lot of news on the Brexit front, saying that the Saturday vote in Parliament will be a meaningful vote, a rare Saturday session for the UK Parliament, not just to debate this Brexit deal, but as RTE is reporting, to vote on it. What kind of volatility could we be looking for now as we head into the weekend?
Well, here's the thing is that, okay, so we've got another day and a half of trading here in Europe before that meaningful vote. Whatever happens in the House of Commons on Saturday, the markets will be closed, so we won't actually be able to get a reaction until European time late Sunday evening, I guess Sunday afternoon on the East Coast of the U.S. So we could get a very big gap opening, either higher or lower, in the pound when those markets open up in Asia on Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon, New York time.
And just quickly, what kind of range are you looking at for the pound at this point against
the dollar? Well, today we've had a 240-point range, so 127.50 the low, 129.90 the high. I think if we if we do get the meaningful vote passing the Brexit deal, then we get up to 132, 133. I think if we don't, then we probably get close to revisiting the 122 levels that we were at not so long ago.
Lots more to come. Richard Jones, always good talking with you. Thanks as always. Richard Jones, FX and rate strategist from the Bloomberg Markets Live team. And Bloomberg customers can get much more from Richard and the rest of MLive by typing MLIV Go on the Bloomberg terminal. And just checking the pound against the dollar now, paring back some of that surge from when the deal was first announced, now trading at 129.01, the pound against the dollar. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by MBAF, CPAs and advisors dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities, and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks in the pound are rising as negotiators from the U.K. reach an agreement with officials in Brussels. This could pave the way for Britain to finally break its 46-year-old ties to the European Union this month. Therese Raphael covers Brexit for Bloomberg News.
What seems likely is that we are going to see Parliament sit on Saturday and possibly vote on a deal. Now, it matters whether they're voting on a meaningful vote on the full text of a deal or whether it's, say, an indicative vote on an outline text. All of that we'll have to learn in the course of today.
And the pound is rising on the news. Right now, it's at 1.2876 against the dollar, up about a third of a percent now.
And shares of Netflix are higher in the pre-market by more than 7.5%. Earnings topped analyst estimates, and the company delivered enough good news, particularly internationally, to allay concerns about looming competition from Disney and Apple.
IBM shares down more than 4% after the company reported third-quarter revenue that missed Wall Street estimates. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The long-awaited revenue infusion from Red Hat failed to compensate for continued declines in other parts of its business. Total revenue was $18 billion in the 3 months ending September 30th, down 3.9% from a year earlier. Analysts had forecast $18.2 billion. It marks the fifth consecutive quarter of shrinking sales at IBM. While analysts have been looking for signs that Red Hat, which was incorporated for the first time in those results, would change the narrative. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. Shares of Ericsson are up more than 7.5%. The Swedish equipment vendor reported third quarter results that beat analyst estimates and also raised its sales target for 2020.
And HSBC may partially exit stock trading in some developed Western markets. Sources say equity sales and trading units in France, Germany, U.S., and the U.K. are likely to be scaled back. HSBC's Asian equities operation is not affected by the review. We do have some breaking earnings crossing the Bloomberg. Honeywell's third quarter profit beating analyst estimates, and it raised the lower end of its view for the year. Again, that just crossing the Bloomberg. S&P futures higher, up about 11 points. Dow futures up 105. NASDAQ futures up 31. The DAX in Germany up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury is down 11/32nds, yield 1.77%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.61%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5% or 24 cents at $53.12 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.33% or $3.90. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. 6:33 on Wall Street. Here's Michael Barr with the latest on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. There is breaking news this morning. Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings has died. According to a statement from his office, Cummings died at 2:45 a.m. this morning at Johns Hopkins Hospital due to complications concerning longstanding health challenges. Cummings, who was chairman of the House Oversight Committee,
was 68. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations is urging Turkey to halt its offensive in northern Syria and declare a ceasefire immediately. Kelly Craft said after a closed Security Council meeting on Turkey's military action that the offensive is undermining the campaign to defeat the Islamic State extremist group, endangering civilians and threatening regional peace and stability. There is a rift now between President Donald Trump and his closest allies regarding Syria. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
After the House overwhelmingly rebuked the president's pulling troops from Syria, his closest ally, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and Senator Lindsey Graham parted with his policy on this.
You know, as messy as Syria was, this was working pretty well.
The best bet for the United States is to have a Kurdish-U.S. partnership to continue to keep ISIS at bay, keep your foot on their throat, and to keep Iran out.
And then the president turned on Mr. Graham.
I want to get out of the Middle East. I think Lindsey should focus right now on judiciary.
Later in the day, his meeting cut short as Democratic leaders walked out, Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying it was a Trump meltdown. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The third victim in Saturday's partial collapse of the Hard Rock Hotel in New Orleans under construction has not been located. Authorities have made the difficult decision to move from rescue mode to recovery mode. New Orleans Fire Chief Tim McConnell.
Our hearts go out to the family of the people who were lost and to the one individual who we have never actually been able to put our sights on. But all of our indicators have proven that he did not survive this tragedy.
Chicago's teacher strike begins this morning with classes already canceled citywide. Teachers are demanding wage increases and paid prep time, among other things. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, Masahiro Tanaka has been a great postseason starter for the Yankees. In 7 starts, 5-2, ERA of 1.32, and he's won both his starts this October with an ERA of under 1. The Yankees need Tanaka to keep rolling tonight, a pretty much must-win at the stadium. Game 4 of the ALCS, with Houston having won the last two. Zach Greinke for the Astros. In the regular season, Greinke went 18-5. His ERA was under 3, but in 2 postseason starts, 0-2. ERA over 8. This was supposed to be the matchup for Game 5, but last night was rained out, so Game 5 is now tomorrow on what would have been a travel day, and it'll be the Game 2 starters, James Paxton and Justin Verlander. If there's a Game 6 Saturday in Houston, that's when both teams would likely use their bullpens throughout the game. That was the plan for both teams had they played last night. Not known if Giancarlo Stanton can return. He's missed the last two games with an injured groin. 3 Yankees in particular need to get going. Gary Sanchez, Didi Gregorius, and Edwin Encarnacion, a combined 3-37 in the series. The Angels, in an expected move, hired Joe Maddon as their new manager. The Giants, only a game out of first place as they host Arizona Sunday, and not only is Saquon Barkley going to return from his injured ankle, tight end Evan Engram is back from a knee injury. Here's Engram on Barkley.
I mean, playing with him is already fun. You know, he brings a crazy element to the game. He's a special talent, so getting him back out there, playing at home in front of our fans, it's going to be a really good energy, and it's going to be fun to have everybody out there.
Week 7 begins tonight. Kansas City at Denver. Preseason NBA at the Garden. Atlanta beat the Knicks 100-96. Julius Randle, 20 points in the loss. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Earlier this week, Democratic presidential candidates debated who would be best able to defeat Donald Trump in 2020. Meanwhile, back in Washington, House Democrats continued an impeachment inquiry that could recommend Trump's removal before the election arrives. A certain tension between the party's presidential wing and its congressional wing is inevitable, but it's important they not be at odds. The obvious danger is that a mismanaged impeachment inquiry could worsen the party's electoral prospects. The best way to guard against that is for each effort to command the confidence of Americans outside the Democratic Party's base. With public trust low and misinformation high, it's going to take patience, persistence, and a strong measure of respect to reach the Republicans and Republican-leaning independents whose support Democrats will need. To defeat Trump, either sooner through congressional action or later in an election, Democrats should remain mindful of those they'll need to persuade. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI and Go. 6:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
30 years after the Exxon Valdez oil tanker ran aground, the state of Alaska is looking at whether to change its requirements for spill prevention and response plans. Exxon was widely criticized at the time for not being up to the task of cleaning up what was then the industry's biggest ever oil spill. Alaska's governor at the time, Steve Cowper, saw a need for the state to take over.
Where the existing management structure of this cleanup is not adequate to the task, then we're going to do it ourselves. Independent of that.
Fast forward 3 decades, and State Environmental Conservation Commissioner Jason Brune says he's heard from many Alaskans that contingency plans are unnecessarily burdensome while lacking corresponding environmental benefits. Environmental groups are skeptical, complaining that officials have failed to adequately explain the need for any changes, and they fear the process could lead to a watering down of environmental regulations. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Could it be a sign of things to come? Federal courts in California are lowering the bar for consumers to bring privacy suits against the big tech giants. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Courts in California are weighing in on multiple cases.
Privacy invasion stemming from Cambridge Analytica, use of your phone numbers to do targeted advertising.
Bloomberg Law's Dan Stoller says California courts now seem to be changing what they view as grounds to sue.
Time spent doing identity theft recovery or calling your credit card company, and that's now being seen as a harm after a data breach or even some sort of privacy invasion or incident.
And many plaintiffs are choosing to file suit in California, where many of these big tech companies are located. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Nancy, thank you. And it's risk on this morning on word of an EU-UK Brexit deal. S&P futures are higher by 11.5 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's just before 6:41 on Wall Street. A congressional leader who had become a target of President Trump has died. We remember House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings next with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And it is 6:47 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are higher this morning. The pound rallying as news broke that the UK and European Union have agreed on a new deal for Brexit. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are rising right now on the heels of that news of Brexit. Dow futures currently up 117 points. S&P's gained 12, and NASDAQ futures rise by 36. The U.S. 10 yield at 1.78%. Gold and oil are both little changed. Well, European markets are also trending higher, led by gains in Germany and Spain. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, housing starts, Philly Fed, and initial jobs claims. After the bell last night, Netflix reported stronger than expected growth overseas. Shares are up 8% in the pre-market. And IBM revenue missed estimates. Shares are down 5% in the pre-market. Regarding earnings this morning, Honeywell EPS beat estimates. And look for Morgan Stanley to report around 7:30. In other news, Tesla has received approval to start manufacturing in China. And wrapping things up, Netflix price target raised to $3.30 over at Nomura. Cirrus Logic raised to equal weight at Barclays. And Comerica cut to underweight over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Maryland Representative Elijah Cummings died early this morning. According to Cummings' office, he died at Johns Hopkins Hospital due to complications from longstanding health challenges. Cummings became the powerful chairman of the House Oversight and Reform Committee, leading multiple investigations into President Trump's governmental dealings. Elijah Cummings was 68. Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo are expected to meet with Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Ankara today. The U.S. delegation hopes to broker an end to Turkey's operations against the Kurds in northern Syria. after President Trump abruptly announced U.S. troop withdrawal from the area. In sports, after yesterday's rainout, the Yankees will play Game 4 of the ALCS tonight against the Astros. New York is behind in the series 2-1. In the NHL, the Capitals won. Week 7 of the NFL begins tonight with the Broncos hosting the Chiefs. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include President Trump heading to Texas today. He'll help open a new Louis Vuitton workshop in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and hold a campaign rally. House impeachment investigators are preparing to hear from the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland, as their probe continues, and tensions boiling over at the White House as Democratic leaders walk out of a meeting on Syria. Also making news this morning, the death of House Oversight Chairman Elijah Cummings at the age of 68. For more on all this, we're joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. This is news that obviously just broke a few hours ago, Kate, and it's hard to overstate how deep a hole Congressman Cummings leaves on Capitol Hill.
That's absolutely true. He was a true veteran of Capitol Hill, a real leader among House Democrats, someone who had the same hometown as Nancy Pelosi, Baltimore. He also, particularly in this moment in history, I would say, it was someone that was pivotal to the chief tension in Washington right now, which is that between Congress and the White House. He was one of the the chairman of the Oversight and Reform Committee, which is one of the three committees that's leading up the investigation, the impeachment inquiry into President Trump. And even prior to that inquiry, you know, going back to the 2016 elections and questions about the Trump campaign's ties to Russia, he was one of the earliest voices calling for a congressional investigation into that. So basically, for as long as we've had the Trump era, as the oversight chairman, Elijah Cummings has been at the center of Congress's efforts to conduct oversight of the Trump administration.
Yeah, as you say, as oversight chairman, Cummings had been pursuing many lines of inquiry when it comes to what he may have seen as corruption inside the White House, from the emoluments clause to so many other factors. And just this past summer, Cummings had drawn quite a bit of ire from the president.
He had. They had gotten into a bit of a, you know, one of Trump's Twitter wars, I would say, over Congressman Cummings had been critical of the president's immigration policy. And Trump responded by launching an attack against Baltimore that folks may remember, calling it rat infested, among other things. And so that prompted, of course, a stern response from Congressman Cummings. And so I guess, you know, part of Cummings' legacy is he was one of the people who, you know, tangled, you know, with Trump in one of these Twitter back and forths that became, in this case, you know, quite personal and caused a backlash because it became centered on Baltimore and its residents. So that was a bit of a strange interaction there.
But as you say, Cummings had been a part of Democratic leadership for quite some time. What does this mean for Democrats going forward? What does it mean for the House Oversight Committee now that Cummings is gone?
Well, it's certainly a big loss. He'd been, you know, leading that committee as its top Democrat, either as the chairman or the ranking member, for quite some time. However, you know, there are other folks who are positioned to potentially move up and take on that role. But I think in the short term, there are questions, you know, now about whether it's going to cause, you know, in the immediate future, you know, today, tomorrow, the next day, you know, some kind of a delay or a pause in these proceedings that are ongoing now on Capitol Hill. So it's still, you know, early hours, but I think those are the questions that we are going to be asking and trying to figure out how this moves forward with some kind of a replacement. There's no question it will move forward. It's just a matter of whether or not, you know, who's going to be in charge now and whether there is a temporary pause.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the atmosphere changes in Washington, if it changes. I'm thinking about Democratic leaders
going to the White House yesterday for the first time since the impeachment inquiry began. And it was kind of a dust up, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, to put it mildly, I was going to say it didn't go well.
Yeah.
you had Nancy Pelosi storming out, accusing Trump of having a meltdown, Trump responding in kind with his own accusations, allegedly the comment, according to Chuck Schumer, that prompted him and Nancy Pelosi to walk out was, you know, Trump hurling insults at Pelosi, calling her a third-rate politician. So even though the topic of that meeting wasn't impeachment, certainly it seems evident that impeachment is, you know, bleeding into the discussion and, you know, poisoning the relationship more than it was already poisoned.
Yeah, I guess the topic of discussion was Syria and this resolution that passed with overwhelming support from both sides of the aisle, calling on President Trump to reverse his policy to take U.S. troops out of the region. And now Vice President Pence, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo have arrived in the region to try to smooth things over. I mean, where does this go from here?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the hope, the sincere hope on the part of the Trump administration at this point, given particularly the Republican blowback to what the decisions that have been made so far, is that, you know, Pence and Pompeo can be an anchor and smooth things over the next couple days. However, you know, I think this whole episode illustrates better than any, perhaps, that, you know, unless Donald Trump's in the room, I think it's hard for U.S. allies and those that the U.S. is negotiating with to feel like a policy is being made that they know is going to be stuck to.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you, as always, for the insights. You can read much more of what is happening in Washington at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in the nation's capital. Just tune into Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It's just before 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
AOC for Bernie? Why endorsements matter? I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Bernie Sanders picked up endorsements from members of the Squad this week. So how do endorsements really work in nomination politics? No one argues that many voters pick a candidate based on who's getting the most endorsements, or even based on endorsements from specific popular figures. Instead, a major endorsement may bring resources, publicity, activist hours, fundraising, along with it. But all endorsements suggest at least some level of broader support. That's because the politicians making those endorsements are themselves deeply embedded within the party network and would be unlikely to back a candidate unless their own supporters were fine with it. Endorsements can also signal information within the party, which may help party actors reach a consensus on the nominee. However, for Sanders, these endorsements, while helpful, also signal that he remains a factional candidate who hasn't expanded his appeal and hasn't really tried. And so while all endorsements help, Sanders still hasn't overcome the fundamental problem facing his candidacy. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. And we continue to watch the markets as news broke that the UK and European Union have agreed on a new deal for Brexit. It is a breakthrough that must still be accepted by EU leaders and then approved by the British Parliament. Still, futures are higher this morning with S&P futures up 11 points, Dow futures up 101, NASDAQ futures up 31, the DAX in Germany up 0.5%, so is the FTSE 100, the pound rising against the dollar up 0.33%. It's at 1.2881 against the dollar. The euro is at 1.1111. And we'll have much more on Brexit straight ahead with Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.